All right, welcome to another episode of Once Upon a Time in Texas. This is podcast number 61. I'm sorry, episode 62. I was off one. I'm your host, Michael Mitchell, and just wanted to jump into a few random things that happened. A little stuff going on in my life. My oldest daughter yesterday finally went out and passed her driving test. So she got her license, which was awesome. And then I get home, and daughter number two, who is 15, just turned 15 about 2 weeks ago, turns and looks at me and says, "Hey, I have finished all of the online portion of driver's education. So I can go get my permit." Oh, man. So, yeah, I just about cried at that point. And then I almost cried a little later when I added daughter number one fully and completely to my insurance, as many of us do. But what do other than cry and complain? And that's pretty much where I'm at. So, got to go see my grandmother last week. I took a little trip up with my mother. My grandmother is 91 years old and still kicking and doing great. She gets out. She's extremely active. Has all of her marbles, which is awesome for being 91. That's better than me and my mother, I think. I don't know that we have all of our marbles. But yep, grandma's all there. And we went to see my uncle play. So my mom and all of her siblings, one brother and two other sisters, are all retired at this point. And her brother, Stacy, my uncle, got involved in a wellness center that's up there in Oklahoma City that does all kinds of just amazing stuff. And he got involved with a bunch of guitar pickers. And they call themselves the Rockwell Pickers. And every now and then they do a concert. Well, we surprised him by showing up. All of us. So me and then my cousin Jason, his son. And then both of Jason's boys were there. Of course, Stacy's wife. And then grandma and her husband. My mother. And then both sisters. Jane and Amy were also there. And so we had a whole big old cheering section for my Uncle Stacy, and it was pretty cool. So, plus, you know, got to spend a little bit of time in the car with Mom. You know, a couple hours up there, a couple hours back, just BSing and chewing the fat. So, it was good. So, every now and then, you come across those heartwarming stories from the past. And a lot of times there's movies about it and stuff like that. And a lot of times it has to do around sports or whatever. But in this case, my wife ran across something, and it was from the Texas Masons Children's Home. And there was a movie about it. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. So we sat down and watched it, and it was really a pretty incredible movie. And we're going to talk about it a little bit. So we dove into this Masonic Children's Home a little bit more. And it was pretty interesting. So before we dive into this movie and a little more about the Texas Masons Children's Home, I want to thank our sponsors, of course, me and Victory Home Loans. I know you guys know tons of people out there moving. And would love for you to pass on my name. Would love to help anybody out there moving, especially in Texas and Oklahoma where I'm licensed. Although, my company is licensed in 13 other states, so 15 total. So there's a good chance, especially if they're moving out west, that I will be able to help them out. Send them on over to themichaelmitchell.com. That's themichaelmitchell.com. And remember, when you work with me, I sell dreams, not mortgages. Isn't that nice? So where did this idea of checking out the Texas Masons Children's Home come from? Well, like I said a little while ago, my wife was looking at some movies. She had seen something about it, and she ran across a movie called 12 Mighty orphans. And I walked in and I said, well, what is this? And she goes, oh my gosh. I'd been out, I don't know, working at a rent house or in the yard, something. I don't remember. But noticed there were some big names in this movie. And she said, this is a really cool movie so far. And she was only into it like 20 minutes or so. And so I sat down and she rewound it to the beginning. And it was just an incredible story. And so I kind of wanted to talk about it. You know, as do most things with my podcast, it just happened, you know, upon us and inspired us. And so, yeah, we sat down, we watched the movie. It's a great story, but it's based in fact, as a lot of stories are. So let's go ahead and talk about the Masonic Children's Home. So it was officially closed in 2005. And, you know, as things change, it is now the Masonic Children and Family Services of Texas. So they don't actually have a children's home anymore, but here's a little bit of history on it. So helping those in need is a legacy of the Masonic Home and School of Texas. So for more than 100 years, they have provided food, accommodations, medical care, and many other services to those in need. And then this benevolence is a direct result of the generosity of Texas Masons. In 1899, that's right, 1899, so 125 years ago now, the Masonic Widows and Orphans Home opened its doors in southeast Fort Worth. Two orphan brothers named Emmanuel and Lee Ravy showed up early to apply for admission, and Dr. Frank Rainey, the institution's first superintendent, and a man of immense compassion, did not have the heart to turn the needy boys away. So instead, he graciously invites them to stay with him and his wife, and the little group lived in a tent on the grounds until the new buildings were completed. So in the early days, the campus was a self-sufficient community with its own artesian wells for water, a power plant for steam, heat, and electricity, and a cattle and dairy farm. And youngsters were offered a classroom education, but were also trained in farm operations. You know, that way they'd go out and get jobs when they're done. So in addition to helping children, the facility also provided living accommodations for the widows of Texas Masons. In 1910, so 11 years after it opened, the widows were moved to the Texas Masonic Retirement Center, and the institution's name was changed from the Masonic Widows and Orphans Home to the Masonic Orphans Home. In 1913, Masonic Orphans Home was declared its own independent school district and then referred to it as the Masonic Home and School of Texas. So, of course, you know, like I said, things happen, things change, whatever, and the last graduate of the Masonic Home and School of Texas was in 2005, and then the school district closed its doors. So, for over 100 years, they say that they had an incredible spirit of goodwill and concern for children. And then it says, the need remains strong to provide for those in need. And so things kind of switched, and now they have the Masonic Children and Family Services of Texas, which does all kinds of stuff. They do referral services for Texas children, widows, and families, food, clothing, transportation, and family services, medical, dental, and prescription services, tutoring, career counseling, educational scholarships, counseling, and psychological services. And then they do still have living accommodations at the Texas Masonic Retirement Center, and that is for qualified widows of Texas Master Masons. So that's kind of cool that all that's still going on. But let's talk a little bit more about the home and school, because we're getting to the movie, right? So really there's some information out there, but it's not a ton. But I'm going to read you what I could find on Wikipedia. So the Masonic Home and School of Texas was a home for widows, like we talked about. Its first superintendent was a guy from Austin by the name of Dr. Frank Rainey. And then, like I said, 1913, they started their own school system. Orphan Blake R. Van Leer was the only boy in 1909 at the school, and he went on to become president of Georgia Tech, which is a big deal. So it talks about, you know, talks a little more about, when it was started, where it was put, which we talked about. Sorry, I had a little hiccup there. I had to get over it. So on January 10th, 1913, under laws passed in 1905, it allowed orphanages to organize their own schools. And so that's why this Masonic home got their own school, and the State Board of Education created the Masonic Home Independent School District. So that's just really interesting stuff. So where does the movie kind of come from? Well, it's not just about this place and the orphans. It's centered around football, as most things in Texas are. But in 1930s, you've got to remember, we're just coming off of World War I that ended just, you know, a decade before. We're now going into the Great Depression and also the Dust Bowl, especially in this area. So, unfortunately, lots and lots and lots of orphans were around. And a fair amount of them went through this Masonic children's home and school. So a little bit in the 20s, most of the 1930s, and then 1940, they had a football team. And they did pretty well. 1938 ended up being the big year, which is mostly what this book focuses on, or I'm sorry, the movie. So, and the movie really takes a culmination of a lot of several teams and kind of condenses it down into one year. So it's a little fictitious with a lot of truth in behind it. So let's talk about the movie. So again, if you look it up, it's called 12 Mighty Orphans. You look it up on Wikipedia. It's a 2021 American sports film, which is based upon a nonfiction book of the same name, 12 Mighty Orphans, the inspiring true story of the Mighty Mites who ruled Texas football by a guy named Jim Dent. And the book is based on the Masonic School for Orphans in Fort Worth, Texas. So what is the plot? Well, the true story of the Mighty Mites, which is the football team of this Fort Worth orphanage, who during the Great Depression went from playing without shoes or even a football to playing for the Texas State Championships. So over the course of their winning season, these underdogs and their resilient spirit became an inspiration to the city, state, and an entire nation in need of a rebound, even catching the attention of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So some of this stuff was a little hammed up, but really not much. And so, I mean, and let me just read out the cast. These are the kind of people that are in this movie. Luke Wilson plays the head coach. Martin Sheen is the doctor for the orphanage. Robert Duvall plays a guy named Mason Hawk. Vanessa Shaw is Juanita Russell, who's Rusty Russell's wife. Wayne Knight is Frank Wynn. And then it goes on down from there. Even Treat Williams plays Eamon Carter, who was a big newspaper guy in Texas for a long time. So anyway, I mean, a pretty outstanding cast. And so, but let's talk a little more about who these people were and really what the football team was about. And so if you go to fwhistorical.com, which is Fort Worth Historical, I'm just going to read out what they did because I just don't think I can say it a whole lot better. There is nothing bigger in Texas high school football than the Masonic Home Mighty Mites, a group of orphans bound together by hardship and death. These youngsters, despite being outweighed by at least 30 pounds per man, were the toughest football team around. They were asked to play an exhibition game against Sherman High School, which was a Class A school, who wanted a tune-up game before the start of the Texas high school playoffs. It doesn't say the year, but Sherman won the game 97-13, but the Masonic team was paid $250 to make the trip and play the game. That money became the foundation of the school's athletic budget. Something it never had before, right? So in the 1930s and 40s, fans in Fort Worth flocked to Friday night football games at LaGrave and Farrington Field to see their favorite teams play. Farrington Field became known as the house the orphans built thanks to a school constructed over a century ago that sat atop a hill overlooking Fort Worth. The purpose of the school was to house and educate orphans of the Texas Freemasons, which it wasn't just Masons kids, it ended up being all. So it was a humble project, but life at the Fort Worth Masonic Home was about to change for this group of orphans bound together by hardship and death when they became the toughest football team around. So life at the Fort Worth Masonic Orphanage was not an easy one. In the beginning, the school did not even own a football. This is until a guy named Rusty Russell arrived, an unassuming World War I veteran who became a teacher and football coach in 1927. Russell was confident he could make the players into winners. So the team practiced with baking soda cans, you know, filled in for footballs, basically, that were donated by Mrs. Russell. So once Coach Russell took over the team, he decided that they should compete in the Class B division of the Texas Interscholastic League, which is a predecessor to the UIL currently. In their first game against Mineral Wells, Russell made a deal with the opposing coach that if the Masons won the game, they would get to keep the football. The Masonic players were so excited about the prospect of actually having their own football that they went out and beat the crap out of Mineral Wells. They won the game, 34-14. And that season, the team posted an unbelievable 8-2 record. Remember, these are a bunch of scrawny little kids, orphans. They were kind of second-class citizens. They were looked down upon. A lot of them were kind of looked at maybe kind of like liars and thieves, right? I mean, just they were orphans. They were unwanted kids. So officially, the team was known as the Fort Worth Masonic Home Masons, but sports writers for the Fort Worth Press nicknamed the scrawny team the Mighty Mites, and the name stuck. So now we jump forward a few years. In 1932, the Mighty Mites moved up to the much tougher Division 7A. Some schools in that division had as many as 2,000 students, while the Masonic Home had less than 150. While most high school teams at the time had about a dozen plays in their playbook, Coach Russell's playbook had over 700 different plays. They wore hand-me-down uniforms, and in that year, 1932, they went undefeated in the regular season, which is incredible. The game that they are most memorable for was when they advanced all the way to state championships in 1932 and played Corsicana High School. The Mighty Mites fielded only 12 players, while Corsicana had 44, almost four times as many players, and they were outweighed by like 30 pounds on average. The stadium in Corsicana seated about 6,000 spectators. Temporary bleachers were set up to expand seating to 12,000, but a crowd of around 18,000 fans packed the stadium. The game ends in a scoreless tie, but because Corsicana had a 4-1 advantage, they were declared the winner. So years later, the Texas Interscholastic League changed its interpretation of the 1932 state title game And today, the game is considered a tie, meaning the Masonic Home and Corsicana were co-state champions in 1932. Through 1942, the Mighty Mites excelled on the field and became an inspiration to people across the country during the time of the Great Depression. The Masonic Home did drop football after 1942 season because there were not enough boys to field the team. The school did resume the football program after World War II, but it competed in the lower Class B division and never really regained the kind of notoriety that it had before. Coach Russell ended on to coach at a couple other high schools and then ended up coaching for SMU from 1950 to 1952 and did very well. And then several students from the Masonic Home football team ended up to go on and have great success in life. Most of them went on and served in World War II and lived. I didn't see any that had passed away in World War II. There was a guy named DeWitt Coulter. So class of 1943 went on to play college football at West Point and then later in the NFL for the New York Giants. And he was inducted into the Texas High School Sports Hall of Fame in 1970. Harris Miller Mosley, class of 1938, and valedictorian, attended TCU and went on to work with Albert Einstein on the Manhattan Project and helped create the first atomic bomb. This guy was a physicist and super smart. A lot of the other guys went on to be inducted. I think there were four or five that ended up playing for the NFL. Just wow. It really was an incredible bunch of people. So like I said, the movie doesn't portray, I guess, the headmaster, the superintendent, doesn't portray him very well. Although apparently it's fairly accurate as far as, you know, beating and hitting the kids. Like, who cares about these kids, right? And so he was out there, you know, whooping butt apparently a lot of the time. And the movie does compress down. I did find, you know, somebody who really looked into it. The movie compresses down like 4 or 5 years of basically playing football kind of into 1 year, obviously to make it a good story and a good movie, which it is. But it's inspiring though. Like, and I'm not a big fan of sports movies. I'm not a sports guy. I think I've told you all that before. I'm not a sports guy. You know, I understand people get into it and, you know, whatever. Cool. I like it. But I'm not into it. It's not my thing. And so, but this particular movie really was very, very good. I liked it. So I would really encourage you guys to go watch 12 Mighty Orphans. If not just for the cast alone. Super cool. So anyway, if you want a good, inspiring football movie and just a little heartwarming, you know, oh, that's so cool that that happened, you know, kind of, I guess, go watch 12 Mighty Orphans. It really is good. And check out the Texas Freemasons. I am a Mason, and I didn't know a lot of this stuff had gone on. And so it really piqued my interest. And so I dug it. And so I just wanted to share all that. I mean, I know we're a little shorter than most of my podcasts, but I just kind of wanted to let you know about that. And there's not a ton of history out there about, you know, the orphans from this Masonic Home. So, yeah, go check out the movie. Let me know what you guys think. What else do you think? What other kind of weird or off-the-wall interesting Texas history would you like to hear about? I, of course, want to thank our sponsors again, me and Victory Home Loans. Keep in mind, if you know someone moving to or in Texas or Oklahoma or really anywhere at this point, send them my way. Send them over to themichaelmitchell.com, T-H-E-michaelmitchell.com. And remember, I sell dreams, not mortgages. Thank you all for tuning in to Once Upon a Time in Texas. Even though it was a little shorter, I'm hitting about 25 minutes right now. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. Let me know what you guys think. Go check out the movie. Jump on my Facebook page and group Once Upon a Time in Texas, you know, let me know what else y'all want to hear about. I'm always looking for ideas. Send them my way. So to wrap it up, as always, remember, the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. Y'all have a great week.